magic number. Yeah, it is. It's the magic number.
Little threesome, three questions, three answers. Tom Schreier from 105theticket.com. He writes for them and also the Tom Schreier Show on Sundays.
He's
renamed it. It's the Tom Schreier Show with his producer, Sam Ekstrom.
No, Sam does all the work there. He sets it up. He sets up most of the guests.
That's not what he told us during the break, is it? Hellboy, wasn't
no.
he? Telling us
not
how.
Not quite.
Without
I was floating
him,
in my own
there's
kid.
No show. No, he didn't.
Oh, my goodness.
Tom's a good man. Tom would never say something like that.
It's a wake-up call. We get people up at 8 a.m. We got a little extra hour now for a little bit. And I don't know. We got a ton of content. There's so much going on right now. You know.
Well, you never shut up.
That's true. Maybe there's not a lot going on. There's just a lot of talking.
Yeah. No. I kid because we love you. Tom Schreier with us. Three questions, three answers. We'll each get a crack at it. What's the first question?
Hey, Bob.
Hey,
Mr. X. I have three questions for you.
Yes, sir.
Number one. What's been better so far, the NBA playoffs or the Stanley Cup playoffs?
Well, I got to be honest with you. When the Wild were playing, I was paying a heck of a lot more attention to the NHL playoffs. But I will say, very interesting game yesterday. The Cavaliers in Chicago, LeBron at the buzzer wins the game after he defies his coach who wanted him to make the inbounds play. David Blatt, what an idiot.
He almost called a timeout.
Yeah, he tried to call a timeout. Yeah. They didn't have any. That would not have gone well. And the only thing I would say about LeBron that he should not have done, and I talked to Dr. Rotella about this, I mean, LeBron, he had to let everyone know that he overruled his coach and how things would have gone, you know, went so good because he made the right call and he made the play. He certainly made the play, but it better just be, I don't think he knows humility.
No, and I feel like that's been all season long. I have a friend who, I was talking to him during the Indian series just to get the perspective there, from Cleveland, happy LeBron's back, but he said, yeah, it's like a pretty well-known thing that he overrides Blatt, you know, time and again, and it's a weird position for this guy to be in. He's an international coach who made a name for himself overseas. And at the same time, you come to the NBA and it's a star-driven league. I mean, LeBron is ultimately the guy in Cleveland. But I think going to the question, I'd say first round for sure, NHL playoffs are way better. Even, you know, the Wild Series was great, but most of those, you know, games go game six, seven. I mean, we saw a lot of sweeps or just kind of was obvious. Even when, you know, Milwaukee was kind of scaring the Bulls, if you will, I didn't think they were going to take the series. I was surprised they got two games, to be honest with you. Having said that, in the next round, it's evened out at the very least. I mean, that Tampa series has been fun. Washington, New York has been fun. Outside, unfortunately, Minnesota, you know, gets swept. And they don't look very good in that series. But outside of that, I mean, these are pretty hard-fought series in the NHL. And then it's hard to watch the Bulls and the Cavs and say this isn't great basketball. Back and forth. The fact that Rose hits that bank shot and then LeBron responds the next game.
Well, and if the officials had seen Blatt, the coach, trying to call a timeout,
yes,
they would have lost the game.
And not only that, but like in the, you know, I wouldn't think Wizards Atlanta would be that exciting, but Paul Pierce, 37 years old, gets the ball, double-teamed, kind of triple-teamed, from a weird angle, takes a shot and makes it like it's no big deal. On the other side of the, you know, bracket, it's not as exciting. I think the Clippers are just a better team. I thought Houston would be better, but they're exciting to watch, at the very least, and they're no longer a novelty. It's no longer like Lob City. Like, these guys are, Chris Paul is the real deal, Blake Griffin, stuff like that. So I think it's evened out. I just think the NBA has less parity, so you have to trim it down to less teams to get more kind of excitement.
Quite honestly, because of how dominant they were, the only team I really care to watch in the NHL playoffs is Chicago, because they are so good.
Yeah.
And I want to see how it goes with them now in the Western Conference Finals, and I'm sure they're going to advance beyond that, too.
I think there's some interesting storylines, like with Tampa Bay. I mean, beating Detroit, I think in Game 7, they were actually not a better team. I think Detroit was the better team. They end up squeaking out of there. That's a huge hockey market. You beat Montreal Game 7. I mean, that's another huge hockey market. This is Tampa's obviously not a traditional market, but it's a better... It's better than Florida. You know what I mean? It's better than the Florida team. And I think they're probably better fans than people realize. I've been to a game before.
They're all northern and northeastern fans.
Yeah, who
they're Boston
in.
And New York fans.
And there's probably Minnesota
fans
there too, or whatever.
You know, that went there. Yeah, there are. They come from hockey cities.
Yeah. So
nobody's
I mean,
born in Tampa Bay. That stays.
Yeah. I think it's a it stays. I think it's a pretty big arena, and I think it's probably a better fan base than people realize. But you're right. I mean, it's not the same as Montreal or Detroit kind of advancing. Having said that, I mean, I just think it's a cool – there have been some sweet matchups. And like I said, it's hard to find a bad matchup in the NHL. You know, NBA, I think you have to get down to eight teams, and then I think it's going to get really exciting. It's going to be exciting finals, because is Golden State going to get knocked off by Memphis, who looks really good? Or kind of do they steamroll them eventually and start hitting threes? And, you know, who could take down either the Cavs or the Bulls? And the implications of, you know, Rose leading the Bulls there, or LeBron, kind of the local kid leading their team to the championship.
I see why you dumped Nick. There would be no time for him to talk.
Sorry.
Tom Schreier, ladies and gentlemen. And also, by the way, your friends you told us like your nickname, the Tin Man.
Yeah, on Twitter, man, it's blown up. So I don't know. They say I have no heart. I don't know. I guess I'm a heartless man. I'm a heartless Tin Man.
Well, a man with heart would go to every home game on the homestand for the Twins. Wouldn't blow off a couple of them. Tyler Mason's got heart from Fox Sports North. He went to all the home
games. Heart of gold.
Yeah, all right. Let's hear number two.
Number two, Devin Dubnyk and Chris Stewart both talked about wanting to stay in Minnesota. Most likely the Wild will re-sign Devin Dubnyk, but what about Stewart?
That one would surprise me.
Yeah. I think they
need to free up some money.
Well, and they need a big body, I think, and I think he brings speed. He solidified their lines for a while. I mean, we talked about this on the show, like, Mike Yeo, you didn't know who he was going to throw together and what combination. And the NHL has gotten more to pairings, and they kind of figure out who the third man is. But he did solidify their lines. I like his size. I like his speed. I think he brings something to the locker room, too. He's obviously a veteran. Having said that, he's in his prime. Someone may throw money at him, and he can't make a mistake where I know he was hurt, but some people say, hey, once you give him money, he's not going to try as hard. So I don't know. I mean, I would like to see them retain both, but I don't know if they will.
Actually, before we get to the third question, Tom Schreier was at the Wild news conference today. Players, Yo, Mike Yo, the coach, and Chuck Fletcher, the GM. Did Ryan Suter's time on the ice come up at all? Because I wonder if at all, I mean, if he plays, nobody's on the ice. You want to talk Iron Man. He's the Iron Man on the ice.
Yeah, I don't think it came up today. It came up right after the end of the game. And I think there is some thought process that he can, and he wants more ice time, which is insane.
More than he has?
Yeah, I mean, so he told someone that. I can't remember who, but it might have been Tom Powers. I can't remember. But I think they need to reduce it to get better ice time out of him. The other thing, too, is you want to make sure you get, you know, Dumba on the ice and Scandella on the ice and stuff. You have guys who you want to develop. And so I think over time that's going to be reduced because they want to make sure he's good throughout his contract.
It absolutely, I mean, it's to their advantage to have him at his peak going into the postseason. And I don't know if he was tired there. He certainly made
I think it was mental errors. I mean, I really
was it game three where he turned the puck over for the shorthanded goal or for the first goal? No, or game two?
No, it was game two. Yeah. Hossa took the puck from him. And then he lost Kane. And I know it's not his fault that Vanek just had a bad pass. He threw it in the middle of the ice. But you can't lose Patrick Kane. I mean, you have to know where he is at all times.
All right, question three.
And finally, Michigan reported new coach Jim Harbaugh's four secondary violations to the NCAA. Will Harbaugh turn Michigan around, or will he leave them in shambles?
You know what's funny about this? He hasn't coached a game.
He's already got all kinds of shenanigans.
He's got four rules violations and hasn't coached a game. Yeah, but wait a minute. When did he take the job? In January?
Yep.
He's had the job for not even 5 months. Mm-hmm. And he's got four. Well, he's averaging less than a violation a month, so there is that.
It's just, way to find the positive.
Yeah,
Bob.
I understand there are four secondary violations, but they're violations. Let me give a quick rundown. Safety's coach Mike Zordich spoke about the recruitment of Wayne Lyons, graduate transfer from Stanford, with reporters. NCAA rules dictate coach may not discuss a recruit until that player is signed. Well, you know, I guess you can say that's an honest mistake. Blah, blah, blah. All right, in March, Harbaugh sent a signed Michigan helmet and jersey to a former high school classmate to help raise money to benefit suicide prevention and awareness. What Harbaugh didn't know is that the money raised was used to set up a scholarship fund in the name of the student who had committed suicide. Per NCAA rules, coaches and programs may not personally donate items to help high school scholarship funds. That's a stupid rule.
Yeah.
That one should be overturned or changed. Also in March, Harbaugh, another Michigan coach, has allowed an unnamed recruit to sit in a premium seating area during a Michigan hockey game. Not one of the seating areas that recruits are allowed to sit in. Secondary should be fourth area. That's a terrible one. That's ridiculous. All three of them actually are pretty bad. Pretty bad for the NCAA to come down on. Fourth violation involved electronic correspondence recruiting materials that were sent to a recruit by a couple of Michigan staffers. Per NCAA rules, coaches and staffers can send such materials to potential recruits, but they must remain private. Well, who
these are just bad rules, I think.
They are bad rules, especially the one about you can't send a you cannot send a helmet or a sign thing to help a scholarship fund.
Yeah, I just think they're bad rules, and I mean, that's what I always think with the NCAA. What is he actually violating? And then at a certain point, who else is doing this? Is he just getting caught?
Yeah,
I mean,
ridiculous.
I think my thing with him is I think that's the school he wants to be at. It's the job he wants to have. He's not going to do anything to jeopardize this, and no one at Michigan right now is saying, hey, our coach is corrupt or something like that.
Tom Schreier, I appreciate that final word. You are the man.
Thank you.
Matter of fact, you can hang out if you want. We love having you here. Love
it. I'll stay as long as you guys want.
Well, just stick around. Tom Schreier will be back. Actually, we'll be back, and we will talk to someone I worked with for about 25 years on the KQ Morning Show, Mike Gelfand, to talk some Twins, get his take on the whole Tom Brady deflate gate, get his take on everything. We'll be right back with Mike Gelfand. I'm going to make sure he likes this. We are joined by Mike Gelfand. Mike, it's great to talk to you. I've enjoyed when you've called, and I want to let people know this is going to be somewhat regular on Mondays, and we'll talk to you Fridays, too, which is exciting.
Yeah, I've already got buyer's remorse. No, just kidding.
You know, Tom Schreier, he writes for 105.
Yeah, sure, the ticket. I know Tom.
Okay, well, Tom is a big fan of yours, and
yeah.
You were just telling me something, Mike. You saw something Mike did with Brower was one of the funniest things you've seen.
Yeah, when was this, like an exit interview or something for the Min Post? I don't know if he's even there anymore, but you had some self-loathing line that I thought was hilarious.
Oh yeah, Brower did a piece on me, and I don't know, self-loathing. Kind of the story of my life. So. That encompasses, you know. But I always say I am not a self-loathing Jew. I'm just a Jew who happens to hate
himself. That's it. That's it.
Yeah.
Mike, you got to listen. I keep him around for that cackle.
I know it's a beauty.
It is something. Now you when you covered the Twins. I guess I know that, you know, roughly the time span, but were they good or any good, or were they just, you know, trudging along the years you covered?
Well, you know, I mean, I covered them for 3 years, which was about a year and a half more than I could handle. And I would have to say that if you put together an all-star team from those 3 years, they'd be pretty good, you know, because first of all, they'd have Gene Mauch as the manager.
Yeah.
And even though, as everybody knows, Mauch never won the big one, he was a terrific manager. And, you know, you would have had Carew, Bostock, you would have had Heisel, you would have had the guy I think of as the definitive Twins franchise shortstop in Roy Smalley. Because, you know, pretty much throughout the franchise, the Twins have just been, the shortstop has been sort of the vagrancy position, but he was terrific, and he was there at that time. So, yeah, they were good players, but they could never pitch, and they had one of those seasons where they were maybe a couple games out at the All-Star break, but the pitching just broke down.
Was that, well, there was a year in there where, and I don't know if it ended the season, but I know that I was in Jersey then, and 1-2-3 in batting, right? It was, Carew and Bostock and Oliva. Was he the other one? It wasn't Heisel, was it?
It was not Oliva, because Oliva's last year, I believe, was 76, and I started covering the team in 77, but it could have been Heisel. You know, they had a lot of good players, but of course within those 3 years, I think it was after the second year that they had traded Carew, and so that was somewhat of a franchise changer. But you know, the Twins, the thing about the Twins is we talked the other day to Suhan, and he's got this theory, of course, about the local franchise being jinxed. I think if the Twins are jinxed, they did it to themselves. I don't think that it was some sort of a cosmic thing at all. I mean, you could certainly argue they jinxed themselves when they paid $23 million a year to Joe Mauer.
Yeah.
Because the Twins are obviously a parsimonious franchise. And that kind of money, if they were going to pay $23 million to Mauer, which they did, they were never going to be able to pay anyone else enough. And the thing is, it holds true today. I mean, Miguel Cabrera is not making $23 million a year. Now, if there is any profound salary injustice in baseball, you could certainly argue that it's Joe Mauer making more money than Miguel Cabrera.
Yeah, and it's but at the time, people had just accepted they had to do it to keep him.
Right, exactly, and maybe they did. And, of course, he had his contract here where he hit 28 home runs. And in the 5 1/5 years since then, I think he's hit probably about, maybe 39 home runs or something. You know, he's barely hit more in those 5 1/2 years together than he did in that 1 year.
I'm going to take a look. You might be generous with that number because I'm trying to he might have had 1 year after that when he had the
He didn't have much, and if you look at his slugging percentage that year, of course, by today's standards, it doesn't even sound that great. It was .587. He hasn't come within 100 points of that since.
No.
And he doesn't have a home run this year. And, I mean, the numbers, they just tell a shocking home runs. He had 28 home runs in 2009. And he's had, I think, like 37 since then. So it's a pretty shocking number. And it's probably the definitive number which tells you why you should never pay a guy a ton of money because he's having a contract here.
Well, and also you have to project out, geez, what if he is not a catcher anymore?
Yeah.
That was the biggest problem. They also traded away Wilson Ramos for, I think that was Matt Capps.
Yeah, right.
So they got rid of a hitting catcher.
Yeah.
And then you brought up shortstop that they never had. Well, they thought Nishioka was going to be kind of like an Ichiro, right? You bring him over.
Yeah.
And so you trade J.J. Hardy. I mean, yeah, you say they don't spend money. Mm-hmm. The other thing about that is who are you going to spend it on? You would spend it on J.J. Hardy, who is, you know, probably a franchise shortstop, and they traded him away from Jim Hoey and some other minor league
pitcher. Wilson Ramos is hitting, I think, over 300 this year. You could argue he's having the year that he was expected to have about 4 years ago, but he's having it.
Yep.
And so a lot of moves. And the other funny thing about that is the Twins, in conjunction with the media, and in the age of the Internet, the media are incredibly eager to tell positive stories about the home team. And they've been selling this narrative about just you wait. We've got these great players, you know, down in the minors. Well, yeah, they're having a decent year right now, and who knows, they could contend, but none of those players they've been selling us for the last 5 years are doing anything.
Well, the other problem there, too, is maybe they overestimated Aaron Hicks.
Yeah.
Traded away Denard Span, and that looks like their next kind of bad trade, because if Alex Meyer doesn't come up and he's not an impact player, then they're kind of without. I mean, I don't know if Dozier's really who you want leading off.
He's not a leadoff.
No,
here.
Santana should be if he'd take a walk once in a while.
Yeah, but that's the thing. No one looks at pitches, and I thought about this twice, because I've seen Salazar now twice, who has good stuff, obviously, 95 miles per hour, shut him down, I think, you know, 11, 10 strikeouts. Well, Denard Span looks at all those pitches. That's what he did well. He was very meticulous with what he swung at, made sure that he had long at-bats. And then you don't really have a center fielder until Buxton comes up, which puts a lot of pressure on a young player.
Well, yeah, if Buxton comes up, because by now we've been taught, I think, to be a little skeptical. I mean, even Ben Revere would have helped them. He's not a great player, but compared to what they've had. I mean, who would you rather have playing center field now, Jordan Schaefer, Ben Revere? Ben Revere can't throw the ball from second base to first. That's a problem, admittedly.
He's kind of a hacker. I don't know. He wasn't Denard Span at the plate. The other thing about that is I'm a little more fine with that because I don't know what happened with Vance Worley. It's actually problematic that some of these guys resurface in the major leagues again with Pittsburgh.
I'll tell you what happened. His glasses fogged up on him. He couldn't see.
He
threw the ball.
He maybe should have worn sleeves or something when it was snowing outside. But I do like Trevor May, and I know he had a bad outing, but Rosario actually made an error that would have ended that inning, and he's looked all right. I think Trevor May, that's why at least May is a good player that you got in return.
I think they're basically doing it with smoke and mirrors and maybe a little bit with Paul Molitor. And I think in the end what will get them is what usually gets them. I think that come August or so, the pitching staff will just break down from overuse. But, hey, that's just me. and if I could be wrong, I haven't been lately, but, you know, this could be the year I'm wrong, and maybe the Twins will contend. And if so, great. Now, I'll tell you another thing about, you talk about Santana not taking walks. If you can't take a walk in the major leagues this year, you can never take a walk. Because I'm going to tell you right now, The major leagues, they have it's a well-known fact that run production is down year after year. Scoring is down. Batting averages are down. And I believe that that's the reason why you can no longer, if you're a pitcher, you will no longer get the call if the baseball is in any part at all outside the strike zone. Pitches that are on the edge now, announcers call it the corner, but it's the edge. Pitches that are on the edge now are balls. They are not strikes. They're supposed to be strikes, but they're not. And I think, I'm not one to say conspiracy, but I've watched a lot of games this year, and luckily, if you watch, let's say you have MLB.com, you can watch the Fox tracker on every pitch. And I've seen probably, I would say 75% of the pitches that just get part of the strike zone and not all are called balls.
Hey, Mike, we have somebody who calls herself your biggest fan on hold here. Hello, is this Mike Gelfand's biggest fan?
Yes, it is. I just had one quick question and then I'll hang up. Hi.
That's not a question, ma'am. That's a comment.
We have to stop meeting like this.
Yes. Well, I've offered to meet you in person, but have been repulsed at every gesture.
I've seen a lot of balls blowing away.
Going away.
Does that mean anything?
Well, I think what Terry's doing now is she's getting us into the Brady scandal, don't you?
Yeah, I think spend time with younger men.
Yeah, well, that could be too, yeah. And I would say, I don't know about the away part, but low definitely.
This, by the way, I believe it's either someone imitating Terry Train or it actually is Terry Train.
No, she is inimitable.
Yeah, you know, based on the question.
I think that might be an insult. I'm not quite sure.
Not coming from me. No.
Bob asked me to call in, so I'm calling in to say hi. It's good to hear you.
Well, it's good to hear you too, Terry.
I truly do like your insights there on baseball. It's kind of nice to hear.
Well, thank you.
Well, Mike, I got a quick one for you.
Yeah.
Tom Brady, that whole Deflategate thing, where do you think that's going to wind? He's going to wind up getting suspended for a few games.
Right.
I don't know if they're going to, I mean, four to six should be where it is, but now I'm here, it could be even 2-4.
Well, and what sort of a rational standard do you use to apply this thing? There's not really any precedent for this kind of thing. Last week I was kind of surfing the net, looking for some baseball information in hopes of pulling my fantasy team out of 11th place. And it's a 10-team league, by the way. and I happened upon, I don't know if you saw any of this, it didn't get a lot of coverage, but Brady was, he was the keynote speaker at some big address.
Yep.
at Salem State University. You probably saw a little bit of it.
I've seen the clips of him talking and saying,
yeah,
he needed a little time to digest.
And of course, you know, needless to say, this is in Massachusetts. And I mean, and they were of course hysterical about him being there and gave him a huge ovation. And people there feel like this is a terrible injustice. And it's kind of ironic, you know, because when you think about it, is there any place in the world that has a keener sense of justice than people in Salem, Massachusetts?
Tom, I don't mean to step on your cackle.
it was pretty remarkable. But here's the thing that I keep hearing is people saying, "Look, maybe he was probably part of this whole thing, but it didn't matter, you know, it didn't matter because they didn't need it. It didn't do them any good." And like I saw, just a few minutes ago, I saw a tweet from Colin Kaepernick, who pretty much is my moral compass. And he said his tweet was, "No football in the world is going to help you win by 38. Let it go." Well, here's the thing. Cheating is a phenomenon in and of itself, right?
Yep.
Whether it helps you or not is not really the issue. I mean, think of it. Let's say you're a guy who cheated on his wife, okay? And you say to her, "Look, it It didn't do me any good. The sex was bad. I didn't even have an orgasm. I mean, oh, okay, well, that's fine then.
You get a free pass on that
one. Yeah, that's fine. No, don't worry about it. You know, it's just, it's not an acceptable excuse. It's not even a mitigating factor whether it helped or not. The fact is, you're a cheating scumbag and you deserve to be punished.
Mike,
believe me, I know about that too.
Mike, I'm looking forward to Friday because you'll join us again at this time. And Terry, you're always welcome to call in.
Yes,
anytime.
By now, I expect to hear from Terry on Friday.
Yeah, you know, I don't want to horn in on your time. I'm so sorry. I just had to call and say hi, though.
Terry, you've provided me with millions of straight lines in my career. Without you, I'm pretty sure I'd be at the oldies station still.
Thank you.
All right, Mike Gelfand, Terry Train calling in, Tom Schreier with us.
Good to talk to Terry, good to talk to Tom, and I'll look forward to hearing from all you guys.
All right, we'll talk to you later in the week. Thanks, Mike.
Okay.
Thanks, Terry.
Right,
we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back with D-Bag of the Day. We even got an anti from a guy who, if not, he deserves to be in our D-Bag Hall of Fame. He did something nice. We'll tell you about it when we return. The fact that it's time for D-Bag of the Day and Tom Schreier still being with us are not in any way connected.
No.
I just want to make that clear.
I didn't think of that.
Tom Schreier from 105theticket.com and Sunday mornings, the Tom Schreier Show with Tom Schreier and friends.
It is the wake-up call. We are waking people up.
Okay, wake up. That's right.
Yeah.
And you let Sam Ekstrom talk.
Every once in a while. He talks to everyone. No, he gets us in and out. See, that's a problem. I have trouble.
Yeah, we know.
I gotta be careful with what I say here, but I have trouble getting in and out of breaks. See, he gets in and out of break. I talk a little bit. No, Sam says all the intelligent stuff. I just fill the rest in.
You're filler is what
I'm
you
filler,
say.
I'm filler, basically, yeah.
That's why we're keeping you around today, because you're filler. All right. We have this. You know what? I'm going to stay away from. There's some guys that, you know, found guilty of drug possession. I mean, these guys are D-bags no matter what, but let's, this one. And I actually liked one of them. Chris Christie. We're going to go with him as our D-bag. We got an anti-D-bag that I talked about earlier. We'll get right to that. But Chris Christie, and this is not this past year. This is like 2010 and 2011. Chris Christie they give him a suite for the Jets and Giants games. Over those two seasons, see, I'd ask you guys, but you know the answer. I'll throw it out there then. He used the debit card to pay a total of $82,594 for snacks. That would be no more than 32 home games, right? Because 8 per team, so that's they played at the same stadium. That's 16 a year, 2 years, 32 games. My God, that's unbelievable.
Well, and he's a Dallas fan, isn't he? Wasn't he in the box with Jones?
Hey, man's got to eat.
Yeah.
But
clearly,
he needs
the Jersey governor, so. But Chris, $82,000, that's taxpayer money on snacks. I know the prices are high.
That's probably more than I've spent on food in my lifetime.
$82,000?
Yeah.
Well, divide that $82,500, and what is that divided by 32?
It's a lot of ramen.
A lot of ramen noodles, yeah. Well, that's actually, you mentioned that. That's 80. What's a ramen noodle? About 20 bucks a cup? Or a
sure.
buck a cup?
Maybe at a game, yeah.
Yeah, at a game it would be a buck, 82,000.
Less than a dollar.
Ramen noodles.
Is that including beer? Maybe he's just like rolling kegs in there or something like that.
He might have.
Hmm. Yeah.
It's very possible he did. Now, you know what? And the other one, I just said 82,500. My God. It's just a staggering number. Now, here's a guy that has been a D-bag of the day. His ex-wife certainly would attest to that. She went after him with a 9-iron at one point. But Tiger Woods did something that he's got to get our anti-D-bag of the day for this one. There is Ron Sirach, who writes, he's a writer. He wrote a column about a boy who had been bullied at school and was struggling with friendships in life. And he's got a stuttering problem. And he yelled down to his parents at one point in April. And actually, it was the week of April 16th. He had a bad week. He'd been teased about his stuttering. So that night, he yelled downstairs, "Goodbye, I love you." His mom and dad run upstairs, break the bedroom door down. He was about ready to jump out the window. No word if it was a first-story window or not, or how high up it was, but you would have to assume it was high enough that he could have hurt or killed himself because there was concrete below. The parents were able to grab him, and that's what the mom said. We were able to grab him and keep him from going headfirst onto the concrete below. Tiger Woods heard about this kid, and he's a big fan of Tigers. Tiger reached out and sent him a letter And the kid, apparently now, according to what the mom has to say, the kid is happy. He has the letter framed and it's hanged and it did something. It was enough to keep this kid and make him feel better about himself. And it's terrible when these kids get bullied for any reason.
Yeah.
But because a kid has a stuttering issue, you drive him to the point where he actually would jump out of his window to kill himself. It's horrible. But, I mean, when you're younger, I got to figure, Tom, you took a lot of crap for that cackle.
Yeah, a lot of things. A lot of things. It wasn't just a laugh.
A lot of crying inside, I'm guessing.
Yeah, hurt down deep.
Well, but I mean, when you're young like that, everything gets amplified.
Yeah, and things that don't really matter do matter to you. I mean, you're around the same people all the time. I think that's what it comes down to. Like, kids can be nasty and around the same couple of people in every class. And, you know, once you get out, luckily, you know, out of high school, like into college and into the working environment, you're around people, better people usually, and you're not around the same people all the time. And it's unfortunate. I see it. I have a lot of younger cousins. My sister's 16, and my cousins are all younger than her. And sometimes you have to, you know, remind them a little bit, like, hey, this doesn't matter. Don't worry about it. It's just some kid who's upset himself and he's taking it out on you. But it's really hard for a kid to have perspective about that.
And what's unfortunate is some kids, they can't look beyond that moment. And my first experience with suicide was a neighbor. He was in high school. I think I don't even know if he was 17. He might have been. He broke up with his girlfriend and he basically shut the garage door and put the car on and he killed himself. I mean, at that, and I was a lot younger. I was at least 10 years younger than him. That really hit me, and I realized, first of all, don't let when you're a kid, a girlfriend
guide
your life like that. But even kids, I ran into a kid when I was at the beach. It was a kid that hung out when we played volleyball. I was in my 20s then, and this kid was maybe 12. Somehow his parents let him date. He broke up with his girlfriend. He was devastated.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard. I had a similar situation. I was in college. A friend of mine committed suicide, and it's really hard on all of us. It's really hard on his family. And the thing is, it's really hard. I try to go back to, with my family, trying to provide this perspective, and I'm only 25. But they, you know, they hear it from obviously my aunts and uncles and my parents as well. But you just, little things like that matter so much. And what I try to tell people is you're going to have a lot of relationships. You're going to have a lot of different breakups. It's not a bad thing to have a breakup in high school, you know, and experience that at a young age and, you know, realize it's not a big deal. There's always other people out there. You know, the hardest thing is when it's friendships and you have a friend turn on you or you have this and that. I mean, that's infinitely more difficult. But
The way you turned on
Nick Hallett? Oh, my gosh.
And threw him off the show.
Oh my God! No,
the wake-up call.
Nick's fine.
Tom Schreier and Friends show.
Nick sleeps now. He likes that he can sleep in. He's enjoying life. He's still covering soccer for us. He'll do some hockey stuff. He'll be on the show. Don't put that on me. We're good.
Notice now, Hellboy. Notice he's saying, "Well, he'll be with us. He'll do." He's making all the decisions here.
No.
I don't think Nick had a thing to say about it.
Oh no.
No, Tom. We're just giving you a little bit of stuff here. You okay?
Yeah, I'm doing well. I thought we had another one coming up here. Or is it just Tiger Woods we're talking about?
Am
I the third one? I'm the third D-bag of the day. I don't know.
Oh, you were the first one. I'm kidding.
Do we have is there going to be like a D-bag of the year competition?
We're going to have one this year.
Because I feel like Aaron Hernandez is the front runner, right? Killing a whole bunch of people.
Well, you want to know what? You mentioned you heard the latest with him?
No.
Well, now it just doesn't end with Aaron Hernandez. He is the convict that just keeps giving.
Well, yeah, he had another trial coming up, I think.
Well, not only did he have another trial coming up, he's been charged for shooting a murder witness in the face, allegedly. That's the latest thing on him. He's been charged with witness intimidation for allegedly shooting a man in the face, a man who officials believe witnessed the ex-NFL star murder two other people. This is the other trial that's going to come up about the death of two others. Now, he's always if we had a clubhouse leader when it came to, or a cell block leader, if it came to, you know, D-bag of the day, cell block division, it would be him.
Yeah, and I just don't understand how that's going to be remembered. Like, is that just a Florida? Like, do you look at Florida and the culture they have there? It's hard to blame it on the Patriots, who you got to think if they knew more about this, they wouldn't have signed him or whatever. I mean, it's weird that, like, that was considered a character flaw. Remember, he dropped to the fourth round or whatever, and they said, oh, he has some character issues. That's a little more than a character issue.
Okay, we saw plenty of guys with character issues in the draft that were drafted and some were undrafted.
And so, how is that equivalent of, like, Shane Ray smoking weed? Like, that's not the same. I understand that that was actually a big part of his life, and I think him and Odin Lloyd used to smoke all the time, and, you know, it was part of their friendship.
Well, the problem
or whatever,
with a guy like Shane Ray, though, is
why would he do it before?
Stupid.
It was like Percy Harvin. Remember, Percy Harvin did that, and you go, just stop smoking.
Some guys
like
are either stupid or they feel they're invincible and they're untouchable. That's part of it with some of these guys,
and
too.
There's some entitlement. We know this with Jameis Winston. When you're at a big, you know, college program, and I've been down to Tallahassee. I watched the Notre Dame game down there, and you can tell the whole town comes alive for this event. Maybe it's a sense of entitlement where then you go to the NFL and you're just one of many, right? I mean, there's very few people coming out of the draft who you say, oh, that's a really special player. You say, yeah, he's going to fit in somehow with the system.
You must there. Drive Sam Extra nuts on the Tom Schreier and Friends show.
Sorry.
Because we had Hellboy's giving the let's wrap it up, and you just keep on going.
Sorry, Hellboy.
What are you doing to me?
I understand why you're not in charge of ins and outs. The show would never end. All right, we're going to take a quick break. And when we return, we will be joined again by Tom, the cackler and the lack of timing manager. We'll be joined by Jim Suhan from the Star Tribune and SuhanUnfiltered.com and Jim's segment. Jim's segment, of course, sponsored by Premier Pool and Spa. We'll be right back with Jim Suhan and the Shry Man.
Oh, man. Passionate sports.
We are back. Tom Schreier still here.
Hi.
We are joined by Jim Suhan from the Star Tribune and SuhanUnfiltered.com. Jim's segment sponsored by Premier Pool and Spa, which features the Arctic Spa. Built in Canada, the Arctic Spa can handle Minnesota winters and, of course, every other season. Premier Pool and Spa, they take fun seriously. Jim, you know, okay, spring training, the Masters, obviously the NCAA final, then the Twins, and then the Wild again. And why did you take some time off? You don't stop writing. You're still writing every day, just about.
I do have a vacation plan for late June, and I'm looking forward to it. But you know, I'm actually thrilled that the Twins are good enough to write about right now.
That's good point.
You know, I mean, this is there are a couple of dead areas in every sports calendar that really challenge you. And one is that kind of post-NFL, pre-spring training. You know, there are 18 million games being played every day, and none of them mean anything. That's kind of a dead period. I usually try to do a lot of Wild stuff during that period, and luckily they're good enough to matter. And then there's the kind of the post-Masters, post-big events, period of summer where if the local baseball team isn't good, you're dead in the water. And luckily, the local baseball team is better than we thought it would be.
Well, much better. And you did something on Mike Zimmer, too. So you bounced around with the Twins. The most recent one is the Twins. And before that, you did the Zimmer story. So you've been able to keep yourself, like I said, you're keeping yourself very busy.
Well, and we are lucky in this market. I mean, I know a lot of sports columnists, a lot of sports writers around the country. You know, we are a major market when it comes to sports. We have four major sports teams. We have an interesting soccer team with a new stadium issue. We have a Big Ten university. We have some interesting characters. We generally have really good access to these people. I mean, Mike Zimmer, you know, it's not that easy in a lot of markets to have a private word with an NFL coach. Zimmer's a really good, down-to-earth guy you can have a conversation with.
He is likable, isn't he? Because I've only talked
to him
a few times.
Him. And you know, it's interesting. When he first got the job, I talked to some people I knew who covered him in Dallas and Cincinnati, and they all said that he's not a PR guy. He's not going to try to kiss your butt. He's not going to play games trying to make you like him. They said, give him a little bit of time, let him settle in, and you'll find that he's just a very honest, likable guy. And that's exactly the way it's gone. You know, he didn't try to kiss up to anybody. He was just kind of a football coach. But the more you get to know him, the more you talk to him, the more you see him interact with other people, the more you realize he's just a good guy. And luckily for us, I think he's good at his job too, because it's one of the most painful things in our business is criticizing somebody you actually like.
Yep. Well, you know, I'm thinking back to the first coach I covered was Les Steckel with the Vikings. That's when I came here in '84, and he was Actually,
you
probably,
ran him out of town.
He had some help with that that 3-win season. And for years, I've been calling it the Steckel error, E-R-R-O-R, which is what it was. But you had the 1 year of Bud Grant, and Bud was an interesting one to cover for a year. There was no really. I've gotten along a lot better with Bud now than when he was the coach of the team. But covering Jerry Burns was great, and Denny Green wanted everyone in the media except for a select few to be at arm's length. But even the other guy, even Brad Childress, if you did one-on-one with him, he wasn't a bad guy. You know, so
I like. Well, the funny thing is, Brad came into town, and you know, he just, and it happens so often with lifetime NFL assistants. They spend their entire life staring at film in a small room with maybe maybe a couple of players, maybe another assistant coach, maybe a meeting room with their entire position, but they're just completely cloistered. And then when they have to all of a sudden be the face of a franchise, they have no idea what to do. And Brad was under the incorrect assumption that what was wrong with the Minnesota Vikings was that they were too open, that they were too media friendly. And that was all just these types like to play games with the media. So Brad thought his job one was to like distance himself and make his organization tighter. And he realized after about, and I hammered him for it for about a year and a half, he was not only turning off people like me and you, he's turning off his own players the way he handled things. I hammered him for about a year and a half, and then we kind of had a come-to-Jesus meeting, and he kind of, it's amazing. The other thing, Bob, this is all inside media stuff. I don't know if people care.
No, I think
this.
People are interested in what these, what these coaches are like.
Yeah, but here's the thing. It's amazing to me how many high-profile public figures don't have any idea what our job is or what the difference between a columnist and a beat writer is or what the difference between a local TV guy and and a writer might be looking for. They have no idea. They've never invested a second thinking about it. Often their organizations don't help them with it, and they end up getting put in the crosshairs before they have any idea they're being shot at. And Brad and I had to explain to Brad that the funny thing is I ripped Brad for a year and a half. I ripped him a long time, and it didn't really bother him too much, but I inadvertently used a phrase that just he thought I was trying to insult him when I actually wasn't. It was funny that it was when I was inadvertent thing that they kind of ticked him off. So we ended up having this long conversation where I explained to him what I did. And I've had that conversation with so many people I covered over the years where you have to explain to them, no, I'm not, I don't work for the team. I covered the team objectively and from the outside. I'm allowed to write things you don't like. In fact, it's kind of my job to write things you don't like. And then I've had a conversation with a lot of people. Okay, I'm a columnist. I'm not the beat writer. I'm not just trying to find out what's going on in your organization. I'm allowed to write opinion. In fact, that's my job to write opinion. And once I explained that to Brad, we got along great. He just didn't know.
The biggest problem I ever had with a coach was an assistant coach, and it was that somebody wrote a headline that took some liberties with what was written, and yeah. I had to explain to him, I don't write the headlines. If it's on your story, you wrote it. Well,
right.
It doesn't. They don't get that, but yeah, sometimes they do need to be explained. And remember the last Gophers coach, the coach of Gopher Nation, Tim Brewster.
Yeah,
he accused me. He was pissed off at me for something he heard someone else heard on the radio, and it wasn't me who said it.
Yeah,
and I'm trying to explain to him, I didn't say that.
And that's what the scary thing is. It's a level of savvy for someone who's the face of, and these are all billion-dollar operations now. When you factor in TV rights and stadium and revenues and everything else, I mean, whether it's the Gopher football team or the Timberwolves, they're all billion-dollar operations.
Yep.
It's stunning how they can promote somebody to be the face of a billion-dollar operation and have no idea how to function in the real world.
But he was a bigger doof than even Steckel was, because this guy just didn't have a clue what he was doing.
Tim Burchard was not a smart person. I mean, he was not capable of filling that position. I think he was probably good at what he was, which I think he was a bag man for big programs who could afford to buy recruits. And I think he was really, he had a line of BS that probably worked for 18-year-olds, and he probably wasn't afraid to write a check that might be traced back to him, and he made him really good at that job. But that's quite different from being the face of a university.
Well, I mean, I'm sure the kids and the parents love the rah-rah stuff. Hey, Jim,
yeah.
Do you have a what's your next podcast on SueAnnUnfiltered.com?
Tomorrow night, 5:00 at the local with Russo.
No, so he's going to be going until right at the very last puck has been dropped or the buzzer goes off of the last Stanley Cup final game. He's loving this, I'm sure.
Well, then, yeah, not only to talk to NHL playoffs, but Mike also, he's a very interesting dude. He has friends in the music industry. He has friends with, like, who write for The Daily Show, people in TV, people in movies, people who, like, when a buddy of his is starring in Book of Mormon, which came through town. So we're gonna take the opportunity to talk about some more esoteric stuff as well.
Wow. Then my question is, why is he wasting time writing hockey with all those connections?
He loves it.
Yeah, that would explain.
He loves it. And hey, there's something wrong with all of us, right?
It's a good point. Jim, we'll talk to you tomorrow. Jim Suhan from the Star Tribune and SuhanUnfiltered.com. Jim's segment sponsored by Premier Pool and Spa, which features the Arctic Spa built in Canada. The Arctic Spa can handle Minnesota winters. Premier Pool and Spa, they take fun seriously. Thank you, Jim. We'll be right back. Tom Schreier still with us from the Tom Schreier and Friends show on Sunday mornings. Starts at 8 o'clock. Used to be called the wake-up call.
No.
Now he took ownership of it. No. Fired a few people. Worked... Move things around. Make sure you keep that cackle. We're going to come back. Actually, the Hellboy was a little pissy earlier because he got some Rush music for Tom Whaley, the VP. And Tom has got a big high-level meeting. So filling in for him, Tom may be turning into Wally Pipp. We'll talk to Sean Aronson about that. He's the Saints play-by-play announcer, and he does PR work for him, too. We'll talk to Sean. Great guy. Great play-by-play guy. We'll be right back with Sean Aronson from the Saints. We should have asked Sean what kind of music he liked.
I was playing Rush no matter what.
No matter what? All right, we are joined by Sean Aronson, Saints play-by-play announcer, and does PR for the team. Now, Sean,
yes.
I'm sticking with what I said when we corresponded. You could turn Tom Whaley into Wally Pipp. And you tell Hellboy, and I got Tom Schreier here from 105theticket.com and the Tom Schreier and Friends show on Sunday mornings. What you replied to me was pretty funny.
Yeah, I'm just hoping to be like Mark Lemke. You know, you're terrible in the regular season, and maybe you get a big hit every once in a while in the playoffs. That's all I'm hoping for right now. So
I remember writing a column about Lemke. You know, when he actually had some great games against the Twins. You know, he had one game where I think he helped them win the game, and my question then was, what is a Lemke? Because I never heard. I mean, you never hear of a Lemke. But it was pretty good. No, he was pretty good.
That's true. Well, everybody knew him, though, because of his success in the playoffs. I mean, seriously, he was probably the biggest discrepancy between what he did in the regular season and what he did in the postseason.
Yeah. Now, let me ask you this, because Tom Whaley demanded from David Helmer, Hellboy, that he play Rush today. So he played Rush for you, too. Are you a Rush fan?
I am nowhere near the Rush fan that Tom Whaley is. As a matter of fact, if I could name one or two Rush songs, I could probably name a lot. When it comes to music, Tom is on another stratosphere compared to me.
Well, he played in a band, you know.
That's
you know,
right.
those band guys.
Yeah, that's right.
Now, does he come in sometimes with the bandana and still dress like he played the night before?
No, but there are times where he still tries to act like a 25-year-old. So, you know, those are pretty interesting days. No, I have actually seen Tom play, I think, one time before. He played at an organizational meeting when all the teams get together. He played at one of those meetings. And that actually impressed me because I hadn't realized at the time that he played. This was probably 7 or 8 years ago.
Well, you made the comment of, you know, acting like a 25-year-old. I know exactly what they act like because Tom Schreier has been with me the entire show. He is 25, and he has the greatest cackle that I've heard in quite some time.
We talk
a lot, too. You need people like that around you, though, right? Especially if they laugh at everything that you do. I think every group of people needs someone like that because you think you're funnier than you actually are.
Wait a minute. Laugh at everything I do? Here, let me show you what he'll laugh at. He'll laugh at, hey, Tom, ceiling. See what I mean? You just say a word like ceiling, and he's on the floor.
And that's perfect. Like I said, every group needs that person. So you're always going to think you're the comedian if you have that guy around with you.
Let me ask you this, Tom. This is serious question, and Sean, I'm asking it for on your behalf.
Right.
Can you cackle the Star-Spangled Banner? Can you do the national anthem in the cackle?
I would probably like throw up. That's a lot of cackling.
Because maybe you could get booked.
Maybe
for the Saints.
That'd
game.
Be quite an act.
Now, Sean, I got to ask you this. We talked to Tom Whaley about this last week.
Yeah.
I told him Frankie Valli is who I loved Jersey Boys. I have not seen the show. I saw the movie by the Clint Eastwood directed. I thought it was phenomenal. He is going to be at Grand Casino in August. I said to Tom Whaley, who's the VP for the Saints, you should get him that weekend, not to sing the anthem, just to come and perform a song or two for the Saints. Did he ever mention it, or did he just say he was going to write it down and do something about it? Did it come up at a meeting at all?
He has not mentioned it to me.
I knew that.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean, look, the amount of things that I actually get told and then actually happen, I find out at the last moment, let's put it that way. So it's like, hey, we're going to do this. Can you write a release about this and get it out? And, you know, it's got to be done in a couple hours. So that doesn't mean that it's not in the works.
Well, I'll have to ask him about it when we talk again. Now, you guys had your first full workout on Monday. What else is coming up for the Saints in the next week or so that people can, I mean, do you have exhibition games that are within, I know you have one, you're going to go down to Owatonna, right?
Yeah, so the Owatonna one is this Saturday. We actually will have a workout tomorrow at 1 o'clock that'll be open to the public. Then the team will leave first couple of exhibition games in Gary on Wednesday and Thursday, and then we'll probably work out here on Friday, and then the game in Owatonna on Saturday, and then a couple of exhibition games here next week. Then Wednesday's the world's largest game of catch, which is kind of our block party that we're going to do. It'll be on 6th Street right in front of the Bulldog and the Barrio and all our fine restaurants and bars right next door to us. And then we get started on the 21st. It's going to be jam-packed from now until we open up. And that doesn't even include the circus that we're going to have here on the 21st.
Well, there's a lot of circuses around here, but you're going to have a real one. Now, we have something to give away in conjunction with one of your events.
Sure.
So we're going to 651-989-9105, 651-989-9105. If you want them, call right now, talk to, say hello to Sean, and we'll give it to you. Hey, can he tell him to put his microphone on so he can read off exactly what people get. Can you hear? Throw on that microphone and tell us exactly what people can win that is related to the Saints.
He's almost there.
We're getting there.
Hi.
That's all right. This is a live show. It's all right.
So what do people win?
4 tickets to the 4th annual Grill Fest this weekend at CHS Field.
But you can't beat that. That's pretty good, right? All right, let's put the first person on, and we'll say hello to Sean, and we'll go from there. Sean, will you be at that, or you'll be at Owatonna at the Grill Fest?
I'll be everywhere.
Okay. Nope, you know what? We'll just give the tickets away. Dave Helmer's giving me a no sign.
We don't have enough time to let somebody else on.
We don't have enough time, he says. Yeah. All right. You let this happen on the Tom Schreier and Friends show?
No, never happens.
Sean, you should talk to Tom now, because he was just the guy writing on 105theticket.com. Yeah. Now he has his own show.
It is not my own
he
show.
He fired a guy. Got rid of somebody because he was talking too much, so he can talk more.
Let's hope he hasn't forgotten the little people on his way up to the top, right? The amount of people that he had to step on to get up there, right?
Yeah, exactly. We know people like him, though. They think that they'll just step on him all the way. They'll just keep going up and up and up. People learn, though, time. He's only 25. He'll learn.
Oh, no.
No, I'm Tom and Sam Ekstrom do a great job on the wake-up call.
Yeah.
On Sunday mornings, a.k.a. the Tom Schreier Friends show.
No.
And look, I understand it. Look, I'm trying to get the press box named after me here, and it's so far it's been futile. Everyone tells me that I've got to be dead before it happens, and I tell them that, you know, I die a little bit more inside each day, so, you know, I've got to be close to getting it, you know?
You can tell them, hey, my career is dying. That's pretty much dead.
I mean, you know, the Sean Aronson press box has a great ring to it. That's all I ask. I'm not asking for anything more.
Sean, I'll tell you, it's not looking good for Whaley. You may turn him into Wally Pipp. It may happen. Forget the Lemke comparison.
Seriously, I've joked, though, that if I can't get the press box named after you, they may name the bathroom in the press box after me, but you take what you can get at some point.
Well, I will say this. I appreciate you taking the time with us. Sean Aronson does the Saints play-by-play and also handles PR for them. You multitask over there with the Saints.
I appreciate it. You have to.
Well, thank you so much, Sean, and thank you to Tom Schreier. He's a good sport. We gave him a little bit of crap about him firing some people. Taking over the Tom Schreier and Friends show.
Yeah.
Sam Ekstrom, of course, being one of his friends. And that was, you were very nice to him to keep him and not dump him, too.
No, he's vital. You can't get rid of him.
But thank you to Tom. Superstar Mike Morris and Ben Holson are coming up. You stay with them until 7 o'clock. Thank you to our guest today, Tom Schreier, of course, Tyler Mason from Fox Sports North, Bob Rotella, Mike Stretch Gelfand. He'll be with us on Friday also, right around 3 o'clock. Jim Suhan, Sean Aronson. It's been a great day. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll see you tomorrow.